Live and local. Mornings with Todd Sargent. For our sponsor, Harvey Norman Computers, Rutherford and Bennett's Green.
Normally we hear the sound of a push bike pull up out in the corridor and an associate professor Jim Joes jumps off, but I heard the sound of an imported European sports car this morning. Congratulations, Professor Jim Joes.
Thank you, Todd.
So where are we going out to dinner? When's the Grange flowing?
You put the Grange in the kit bag and I'll just gladly join
you. Okay. Sorry. I thought that might have been a little bit of love coming your way. Look, normally we chat about Australian politics or broadly world politics, but I thought we'd have a chat today about Cuba. Of course, Fidel Castro, dying at the age of 90. And there's that old saying, one person's guerrilla is another person's freedom fighter. And I've been fascinated with Cuba throughout the years, a place I would really love to go and probably want to get there sooner rather than later, now that America has decided to allow flights in for the first time in a long while. It always gets a bad rap, but you talk to people and Fidel Castro made some real changes in Cuba from a political point of view. How do you see it?
Yeah, look, I think you'd have to sort of admit that when Cuba's had a major role in the 20th century in terms of US politics, global politics, it's the only country that the US could not bring to heel, so to speak. When Castro launched the revolution back in 1959 successfully, he had huge support across the island, and that's evidenced when the US tried to invade surreptitiously back in 1961.
The Bay of Pigs.
The population didn't spontaneously rise up. They actually rallied around Fidel Castro, and they've continued to rally around him. Since the fall of the Berlin Wall, the Cuban economy has gone into a different mode, and now with the US having tried for 50 years to freeze the Cubans out of existence, they've now decided to open up relations. That's likely to have much more success because the generations of Cubans now, many of them have absolutely no memory of what led up to the revolution, and hence they see the present in different terms.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? Ahead of the revolution, Havana was the place to be, strongly influenced by America. It was a playground of that part of the world, and then it all changed overnight. What good things did Fidel Castro do? We heard that even though there was a lot of poverty, and still is a lot of poverty in Cuba, education and medicine.
Well, education, healthcare. They went from around about 23% literacy levels to 99% currently. They did the shift in literacy in just over a year, and they've sustained that. Healthcare, there's sort of a doctor for about every 180 people in the population.
Sorry, let's just rewind that. One doctor for every 180 people.
On current, I think it's 2012 CIA factbook estimates. Okay, so this is not coming from, you know, the sort of the left-wing perspective. This is coming straight out of the CIA.
From the spooks, yes.
Yeah. Healthcare was a huge improvement in Cuba. That's one thing that they exported. They export doctors and healthcare across the globe, not just simply to like-minded countries, but also to around the region. Currently, their exporting of medical skills and support exceeds the combined contribution of the G8 countries in the world, the top economies.
That's pretty amazing. Would it be fair to say then, a lot of people say communism in theory is great, in practice it's not. Yeah. Would that be a situation where communism is working well?
No, I wouldn't say working well. I'd simply say that it has worked to an extent to produce more equality across the broader population. The gap between rich and poor closed to some extent. There is still great poverty in various pockets of Cuba, and it's opening up with the liberalising of their economy. The housing situation in Cuba has always been terrible. The
manufacturing hasn't been fantastic.
No, they haven't been able to do much manufacturing. A large part of the problems with the Cuban economy has been because the US basically had embargoes on pretty well everything. So it was very difficult for Cuba to import the things that it needed, because any country that did this with Cuba without the US was frozen out a bit by the US. So there was a lot of diplomatic economic sanctions against Cuba, which they've survived. Thawing those is going to actually probably mean that the US will get what it wants, but entirely differently, and that the Cuban economy will...
A carrot more than a stick, you're talking about.
It will become less equal over time. I think that's a prediction.
All right, so obviously Fidel wasn't in power for many, many years. His brother Raul was, but he was such a powerful figure. And the US knew while ever he was still alive, he had influence. Where to now from Cuba? Is it possibility that it's going to become a little bit like Hong Kong?
Well, I think what we'll see is as its economy moves more into a market formation, greater inequalities will emerge and it will become more like a Western economy than, shall we say, a guided socialist economy. So Fidel, personally, his status, his influence was huge.
Paramount,
now
yep.
that he's gone, his brother is president and has been for about 8 years now. The legacy of Castro will probably live on, but... gradually, the historical memory of why Castro was as successful and why the revolution was needed and was supported so strongly, that historical memory will fade.
It always does, doesn't it?
Yes.
Professor Jim Joes, congratulations again.
Yes, thank you, Todd.
2NURFM 103.7.